I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Katie, I am so excited to have you on the Be You, Find Happy podcast. And we're going to talk about some really fantastic things in life, about your life experiences, about the amazing company and charitable organization that you have created. And I'm really hoping that we're going to kind of dive into the whole year-end, like, you know, get healthy, get inspired at the start of the new year thing too. So could you share with the listeners a little bit about who you are and how you got where you are and, you know, why you describe yourself as a broken badass?
Yeah, I am a Jersey girl at heart that moved out here for college in San Diego area. And so I've experienced both the hard, crass East Coast mentality and then infiltrated it into the what I call the sweet spot of the universe. I feel like the weather in San Diego is incredibly hard to beat, and it's a transient city, so you get to meet all different flavors of life. And I attribute a lot of my success to the hardworking attitude that the East Coasters instill, and then the chill attitude of the West Coasters. I excelled in the inspiration points of my life, let's say, because I just don't know how to turn the off button off. Exactly. So I currently own a self-development company. It's called Be Inspired, and we do international retreats around the world, and I lead online and in-person workouts. But I say it's not just a workout, it's also a work in, because it's not enough to just do squats and push-ups and warrior two and chaturangas. You have to be able to take tools from the movement and instill them within the internal body as well. And so I've built my life and my career around our ability to have tools in our toolbox to make sense of the chaos of our own lives, the hot mess and the broken badassery that we are, and really truly have things to cope, as we know that the only thing is constant is change. And one of the hardest parts for me was in COVID, a lot of the identity that I had built over the past 15 years had been completely put to a halt. I think a lot of us can feel that way. But there was no international travel, there was no in-person events, and so a lot of the things that I always thought were me were really kind of shook. And so it's been such an interesting couple of years, lockdown years, and it's been a cool experience of creating a new phase and a new next step of who we are.
I love what you talk about. And I love how, you know, what I'm seeing is people either do it one way or the other. Either they are digging deep and tapping into their resiliency and their grit and finding what drives them and brings them happiness in this moment, or they're just completely wallowing in fear and self-doubt and, you know, all of these various different things. And one of the things that you kind of touched on that I think is so important, and I know this has been a big part of my life too, is, you know, I feel like as a generation, as a society, as a whole, we have kind of gotten into this lukewarm mindset where, you know, if it's cold in the house, we turn up the heat. If it's hot in the house, we turn on the air conditioner. And we don't really ever spend any time in that kind of super uncomfortable, space. And I feel like just generally we've had a relatively easy existence, and there are some of us who have not. And I think those of us are the ones who have found COVID and the pandemic to be a little bit less traumatic, because we've already kind of been through things like this in our lives that brought us to a screeching halt or brought us down to our knees. And, where now everybody on the planet in some way is experiencing what only maybe a small few of us had to before. So I think that's, you know, kind of what you're talking about there. one of the things that you say is, you know, that they, that people should cheers to their intimacy with the moment and cheers to being broken and badass. What does that look like? What does that mean for you?
When I was 14, my mom passed away of breast cancer. She was 43. And so when I, in the book that, that launches next week, it's called Cheers to Chaos, 8 Tools for the Puffy-Eyed and Powerful. The, it outlines in one of the chapters, the real vulnerable story behind the things I did right and did wrong surrounding my mom's death. And, you know, being able to just kind of see someone take this big breath in, like we all do, and then they exhale and then they don't inhale again. And it kind of messed with the way that I look at life, the way I see our possibility, because I looked at my mom's lifeless body. I was like, wait, that's it? Like, we just exhale? Like, there's gotta be something more than just an exhale. And so I feel like I've been on this kind of lifelong pursuit of figuring out what is the meaning for us being here. And also, every second, 1.8 people stop breathing. People, wow. You know, we take it so for granted. We think like, oh, of course I woke up today. But actually, if you can change the perspective of, I got to wake up today, it's hard. But it's one of those things where we can look at and be like, shit, then why did I actually get to wake up today? What was the reason in which I was given another chance to take an inhale and exhale? Because so many people don't. And the intimacy becomes this inward journey of, why am I here? Why did I get another breath? And I think, like you said, with the air conditioning and the heat thing, I so relate to that. It's one of those things where, okay, it's not always supposed to be about happiness and inspiration and always feeling good. In actuality, most of life doesn't always feel that way, but it's about being able to sit in the chaos of the storm, being able to sit at what I call rock bottom cafe and take a sip, or I take a shot of tequila. You're like, well, I'm here. I mean, I've been here many times before. All there is, the only way to go is up now. And so the more times, like you said, if you're more seasoned in the chaos, if you understand that it's a part of life, then the waves don't hit you as hard. Then you can sit at that cafe, take a shot, and then work your way back up to whatever the next GPS point is in your life.
Really odd. Sometimes I just wonder. We were talking about the whole next GPS thing. So listen, you have experienced a period of time where you had some facial paralysis. Can you talk a little bit about that experience? And, you know, I've been hearing that there have been a lot more diagnosed cases of this. And I'm just curious if you're willing to share some of your experience with that.
Yeah, actually, I've heard that too. I think there was a little bit of hype built with the vaccines around it. But in actuality, so Bell's palsy is a inflammation of the cranial nerve of C7. And what that does is, it's a nerve that lines from the back of your neck all the way through your, basically your temple, where the skull has a little bit of a hole there. And there's one big nerve that fires to make your eyebrow lift, to make your nostrils flare, to make your eyelid close, and to make your mouth open and close. It's a nerve. And Bell's palsy is a virus that infects the nerve. And it, when the nerve becomes inflamed, it basically can't fire. And so your face is completely stuck open. It looks like a botched Botox job. You're just like stuck. You're placid. And your eye doesn't close. Your lips don't close. Your eyebrow doesn't move. About 40,000 people a year get it in America. It's a pretty low number, but it's gotten more attention recently because, you know, people, very famous people have had it. George Clooney, Angelina Jolie, they just go into hiding when it happens because it's super embarrassing and it's hard to deal with. But mine was about 4.5 months, and it was soul crushing because I sit in front of, well, at the time in 2015, when I had it, I was at the height of my in-person teaching. So I was seeing about 600 people a week live in classes, and to sit in front of that classroom as what I thought the beacon of health, you know, late 20s being this like super yogi fitness girl. And then all of a sudden my face is paralyzed. It was this kind of like kick in the subtle body, the energy body saying, well, what is not working that you have to look at? Because inflammation of any sort is, you know, small things over time that are building into inflammation. Eventually, inflamed cells can become cancer. inflames can become disease in the body. And so we have to look at from a more macro perspective, what was I not paying attention to that maybe could have caused this paralysis and this inflammation? Now, researchers don't really know what exactly causes it. There's not one thing you can pinpoint. Some people, if they have an accident, it will happen, or like Lyme's disease will cause it. But besides that, if you don't have those two things like me, it's the doctors are like, good luck. Here's some steroids. Hopefully it helps. But, it, you know, 80% of people heal. Well, myself was like, 80% of people? Are you kidding me? Like, that means 20% don't get their smile back. Right.
Right.
I was going a little crazy. So I really took it. The first month I was, soul searching. I did the opposite of everything I was doing. I was acupuncture every hour. I would have normally done some sort of movement practice. I was sleeping 10 hours a night. I was just trying to get all of my, what the Eastern doctors would call, increase my blood. There's chi and there's blood, the yang and the yin. And so I had to increase more of my blood. I had to chill out, essentially. And they said, you know, your blood is low, your chi is high. We got to rebalance that. So I did acupuncture like 3 or 4 times a week. I took all the supplements and did all the things. And when it really comes down to it, it's, I think, and I'll never really know, that because I was able to sit in front of 600 people a week in Southern California, you know, my clientele is very into the way they look as well as the way that they're working on their insides. And so for me to still teach a class with slobber coming out in my mouth, like holding my eyelid together with a tape or whatever, I could just say to you guys, like, hey, don't take your smile for granted. Don't take your health for granted, because at least I have half of my smile working. You know, you got like, I just woke up like this. This is my ability to sit in front of you and say, we can't take it for granted.
I like that you said that. I think that you bring up a good point that every day we have to know that our lives, our blessings, our et cetera, are not to be taken for granted. And I think, you know, when we can tap into a space of gratitude for simple things like the day, I think it does just create a much more, a happier path to living. And we find ourselves less wrapped up in the things that aren't working or the things that we find depressive or upsetting, et cetera. You know, when you kind of strip it down to like, hey, we should just be grateful for the health that we have in this very moment, or, you know, the ability to have a good breath today, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it's also like think about the last time you had the flu or even a common cold. And, you know, some people even sicker with COVID, but I give this example sometimes where when we have the flu, all we want to do is not be sick. We do anything. Or if you have a shoulder injury, let's say you tore your rotator or hurt your knee, all you can focus on is getting better. But the second we get better, you know, it's a good thing. It's a coping mechanism as a human. The second we get better, we're on to other stressors. Oh, I wish I had this. Or, you know, people are harping on their wrinkles or their eyebrow hair or whatever it is. And we kind of forget, oh my God, just a couple months ago, I was on my deathbed with this horrible flu. And all of a sudden, like for me, in my case, Bell's palsy, every day I'd wake up and pray, please, if I just get my smile back, I will never take it for granted again. And there are plenty of days 5 years later that I totally do. But it's one of those things where if we can be, like we said, if Bell's palsy was my rock bottom cafe at some point, can I keep revisiting chaos and remember that, yes, it's going to balance my chaos, my neutral, so the chaos isn't so bad. But also when the goods come, the good stuff, I feel like we get to savor it more. We really do say, wow, this is a good day where everything's working. I'm breathing, yes. My face is working. My injuries aren't there. I don't have the flu. And there's these graceful moments to sit back and really just say to ourselves, like, this is, you could take it in almost even deeper and more truly.
Hmm. And you're not wrong. That's absolutely right. So out of curiosity, when you think about the idea of kind of letting go of some of the things that are ailing you or upsetting you, what comes to mind for how to do that? I mean, beyond the deep breath that we kind of talk about, or, you know, what do you do? How does it work for you?
To recreate balance, essentially. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I am a firm believer that balance isn't found, it's created. And we're all cyclical beings. I kind of have like 3 to 4 week cycles, whether it's the moon cycle, essentially, or if it's just noticing your own patterns. But if I feel out of whack, I have to start with what I'm ingesting, but not just like 100 ounces of water a day and get my leafy greens and, you know, add a salad a day or whatever it is. It's also what I'm ingesting through media, through friends. Like, what am I having to digest every day that's in my surroundings? I'll notice when I come out of balance, like maybe I'm watching more TV. I'm not, you know, taking a morning walk or spending the first 10 minutes when I get out of, before I get up out of bed, it's not on my screen. It's like 10 minutes of, let me just set the mental tone for the day without any screen. Let me visualize what I want. But there's these practices that you kind of know, at least I do, like tried and true that work for me. Okay. I know movement every day matters. I know water and sleep, 100 ounces of water plus 8 hours of sleep for me matter. Those are things that are tried and true methods, but we just get out of practice. We self-sabotage. And then I can feel it a couple weeks in where those tiny decisions, the little bad ones that have added up, maybe I've had a few more drinks that week or a few much more screen time. And then by the end of the week, I just feel depleted and numb and not myself. It's like I have to reintegrate the practices that I probably don't want to do. I don't want to read 30 minutes before bed. But when I get back into the habit of reading, then all of a sudden I'm enjoying it. But it's like,
right,
you got to take that first step. You can't turn the TV on. I got to open the book. Right.
So it really comes down to just kind of like having some, what's the term? I'm like totally spacing on the term, but like, some self-motivation, like to be able to know, like, even though I don't want to, I need to.
And this goes back to what you said, like the lukewarmness. I love that analogy because we can be lukewarm, but then our life also becomes lukewarm. So if we're lukewarm in our endeavors, okay, I'll default to watching another Law and Order. If we're just lukewarm and let that be what guides me, then I'm going to be lukewarm in what I'm feeling and experiencing in my life. But if I take that 30 minutes that I would have watched a show and I replace it with a book that someone's recommended to me, it's all of a sudden things start, like doors start to open, pathways. My default is when I don't want to deal with the world, I like to be busy. I like to be too busy to feel, experience, see, hear, talk, whatever. I'm just go, 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 work, work, work. But in actuality, for me, if I can just like create a little bit of space and 30 minutes of book, even if I'm not getting through a whole chapter, I'm just reading a little, or 10 minutes of a walk, or that I do the snooze thing in the morning. I hit my snooze, but I don't sleep. I just make myself like sit there and start to visualize how I want my day to go through and what would be something that would make me proud today.
I love that.
And if I could just do that, right, then all of a sudden I create space for things to drop in, because there's so much goodness that exists within our own mindscape if we're only willing to just sit there and be with it.
So let's switch gears for just a second. You're, you know, a Lululemon model, Instagram influencer. What's it like to be in the limelight all the time? Do you think people have like this expectation with, you know, a handle like, what is it? Be inspired and
be happy.
How do you have like this pressure to like always be on and be perfect and be good? Like what's that like for you just being in that world?
Yeah, I think so. At some of the peak of my touring as like a yoga, let's say, teacher, I was touring with Wanderlust, and Lululemon had me. I was the international model in 2016 for their spring collection. So at that point, that's right when my Bell's palsy hit.
Oh, wow.
Like, I would say the peak of my face being seen, let's put it that way. And so that was really soul crushing and ego crushing in a good way. I had to take a step back and ask myself, whenever I'm doing whatever I'm doing, if people can't see my physical smile, can I still, with my actions and my words, make them feel like I'm smiling to them? And it was a self kind of like, okay, take a step back, and are what you're doing and thinking aligning with that outward expression of who you are, even if your face can't smile? So then in the next couple of years, I've taken a step back into trying to be more quality over quantity in my events and showings. And now recently, as this book is coming out, it's 8 chapters chronicling the deepest and most vulnerable parts of my life. And so talk about being in the limelight. I may not be able to see as many people as I used to physically in person, but people are coming out of the woodwork saying, oh my God, you know, my mom died and I was anorexic. And, you know, I never knew you went through paralysis. And the book chronicles a deep heartbreak of mine, the love of my life, like, and how we just weren't in the right place at the right time. And people are coming in and talking about their heartbreak. And all of a sudden I'm realizing that, yes, I might have pulled back a little bit from the physical in-person, let me see you limelight, but now the vulnerabilities of my inner story are out there, and people want to talk about it. And that is, I'm still working on how I can handle all of that incoming, and also what it looks like to be someone who offers tools and story. But I'm not a therapist. I'm not a certified anything in that direction. I just am someone who's lived a lot of life. And I think that my story can make you feel less alone in your own story and in your own chaos, you know?
Totally. I have a friend that often says, I'm not smart, I'm experienced. Yep. It's like, oh, it's so true. But I mean, I would think that, you know, being in the role that you're in, and I can kind of relate to this too. I actually published a memoir years ago called Teetering on Disaster, about growing up in the rural Sierra Nevadas with no running water, no electricity. And then kind of getting to this really fancy dancy, life in San Diego with a, you know, beautiful ocean view home, and then all of it coming crashing down and finding myself running back to this like small rural town. And so when it came out, you know, there was all this press and then everyone's looking at me, and then now I've got this happiness podcast, and there's times in my life where I feel like, you know, people are kind of like scanning and going like, well, what's her status? Well, how's she doing? And you know, there's been times in my life where it's felt like I'm not allowed to have emotions other than everything on the upscale, you know? and that's just not reality. And so that's one of the things that I really try to tell people and share with them in my psychotherapy practice. It's like, you do your most, impressive growth and change in life when you're most uncomfortable. When you are at your worst is when your old limbic reptilian brain kicks in and says, I need to fix this. I need to change this. This is not working anymore. And when we are lukewarm or we are comfortable, we tend to stay in that comfortable life. Like you said, you know, we don't really have that motivation to kind of go when everything's just blasé and chugging along. We're doing okay. And then what I find in my work as a therapist is that, you know, people wake up one day and they're like, wow, I really hate my life. You know? Like, it was fine until it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, because we live there and we're going and we're going and we're going, until then it's like, oh no, this is not great. So I tend to see people in my practice when they're in that space of like, 180, you know? So, yeah. But I think it's to just kind of tie it all back together from what I was saying was, you know, being in that space of having people look up to you. I think it's really cool that, you know, you show up in a way where you say, yes, this is me, and this is also me. And mm-hmm. through witnessing all of me, I'm hopeful that I can offer something to you, you know? And I love that. I like that.
Yeah. You know, my current partner, he doesn't always understand some of the yoga stuff I do. And he's like, But what gives you any sort of like credit or ability or right to tell people how to live their life? And I'm like, I'm not doing that at all. I am literally offering a window into my life so that you feel less alone if maybe you can get something out of my story. Like, I don't want to be the person that tells you exactly how to do it. I just want to show you, because one of my strong suits, and I've never really understood this until I've started writing, is that I'm very open and like, I'm incredibly honest. I mean, the first chapter, the introduction of my book is about a happy ending. And so like a happy endings massage. And so it's like, I'm crude and vulgar, and I don't mind like sharing it all. And so in that audacity of just saying like, this is, life's too short to care. I'm not going to be embarrassed that I got a happy endings massage. I think it's hilarious and other people should know about it. Like, it's not, it's totally okay. And in that audacity of sharing everything from the funny happy ending all the way down to, you know, the intricacies of how I treated my mom when she was sick and bald and dying, like, those are things that really happen. And I know that it can't just be me. And so I'm not saying that you should live your life a certain way. I'm saying, I hope you just feel less alone by the stories and the chaos that I'm offering to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting too, is people can choose to or not to. And I love, you know, like, hey, here is who I am. And if you find something from this, great. If not, move along. That's fine. You know, like, mm-hmm. I always encourage people to use some discernment when they're, you know, kind of taking like a lead from anybody, you know, like, don't lose yourself in that, but definitely take what you can. And I think that we all kind of come into each other's lives. I had a friend once tell me, some people come into our lives as like an antibiotic. We need them for a brief amount of time to get back on our feet or whatever, and then they move on. And I think that that's part of the flow of life, is, you know, kind of that motion. And totally separately, yoga's been a huge part of my life. I started doing yoga when it was called Stretch and Flex. And I and then, you know, and in the Western culture, like in college, it was called Stretch and Flex. And so that's when I first started doing it. They're like, oh, you're really flexible. You know, you should go with this. And then my second kind of experience with yoga was when I was living in San Diego, and a friend was like, you've got to come to this like really awesome like stretch class. And I was like, okay. And it turns out it was like a Bikram yoga studio, and I had gotten totally drunk the night before at one of the fun bars at the beach. And
oh my God.
I ended up laying on a mat like, wow, I didn't know sweat could be white. This is fun. Hating my life for an hour and a half. She's all, just lay down, just lay down. I'm like, I fucking hate you.
Right? I feel like we've all been there in that horrible, get me out of this.
And then you fast forward, like, well, so then shortly after that, I met a friend that has a yoga studio in Encinitas, actually called Bliss. I don't know if you're familiar with Lorraine, but, and so she's a good friend of mine for many, many years. And so I started doing her yoga classes in 07 or 08. And then, you know, now I'm living back up in rural Northern California, and I attend a hot studio here. It's so fun. And one of my, you know, bestest gal friends ever has been on this podcast is, a fellow, yogi influencer on Instagram, Steffi Now. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but
yeah.
So kind of small world. So it's really cool to connect with you and to kind of like hear your story and, you know, so inspiring, truly. And I love that you're just showing up as you are. And I think that's just really magical and powerful and amazing, especially right now. Like, the world is just so freaking nuts. Like, to your partner today, it's like, hey, if somebody can bring somebody some happiness, laughter, joy, inspiration, like, amen. Like, that's fabulous.
You know what? And like, you're truly saying it, because, you know, on a day to day, sometimes in the giving professions that the both of us are in, we may not see the exact results, but you get that one message from someone that said, that was exactly what I needed to hear. It was like you were talking to me. Or, you know, I'll get messages, especially during quarantine, because I had a much bigger online YouTube, and I have now like an online subscription service, $10 a month, you get all my stuff. But like, people from around the world were stuck in their house and doing this stuff that I would have never been able to access necessarily. And I typically, the month that COVID really got bad in March of 2020, I was still in India with my group teaching at the International Yoga Festival.
Oh,
we were all like kumbaya in the Himalayan mountains, pretending like it wasn't happening. And all of those people that we were basically rushed back to America, they all became online friends of mine that I may have not have connected with so deeply. And it's like now people in India that I talk to often, or because it was an international festival, there was people from Europe and China. It's like just that one message, that one comment on the video, like that was exactly what I needed. Or, you know, you've really, really helped my ability to stay focused. That little stuff, that's what matters. Like,
yeah,
screw it if it doesn't help everyone, or
yeah,
even if you don't see the long-term result, but that little bit, it's just like, what are we going to do? We got to give back.
So this is interesting. I had a supervisor when I was in my internship to become a psychotherapist. And I was telling her, you know, I'm really struggling with the fact that like, I don't know what happens to them in their life after these brief four sessions, you know, like, or five sessions or six sessions, whatever. And she drew this picture and it was so freaking cool. It stuck in my mind ever since then, which is like 12 years ago now. And she drew a line. And she said, this is the trajectory this person was on. And she says, you come into their life right here. And she like bumps the line, right? And then, so then she says, and now this is their trajectory. And so she continues out the line and she says, had they not met you, and she finishes the line straight across the page, this is where they would have ended up. But because of this bump and this change in trajectory, this is where they end up. And it was like, wow, that is so freaking cool to think about it like that, right? Like it's this little tap in the trajectory of someone's life and it changes completely where they end up, you know? And I thought that that was so freaking cool. I loved it. It stuck with me forever.
That is perfect. And also it's something that I hope that happens when, you know, I think Hafiz, the poet, is very famous for saying that everyone you interact with is God talking if you're willing to listen. So often, like, I don't think we have two choices. We can live as if nothing has meaning or as if everything has meaning, right? And so in order to make my day to day, my humdrum, like, you know, the tasks we have to do and the life that sometimes is often boring, a little bit more palatable, I like to pretend like everything has meaning, like every person you bump into, every psychotherapist that you have three sessions with, every yoga class that you jump into, every person who cuts you off in traffic. It's like an opportunity to say, okay, if this is a little, was intentional, this was supposed to happen in some way or another, what is there to learn from it? And I hope that people can either listening to this podcast or reading a book or dropping into a class or whatever it is, if there's one little thing that they can take that, like you said, takes that line up, then man, that's good.
Like we're doing it. I love that because a couple years ago, this is quite a few years ago now. I feel like this was before my son was born. So a long time ago, I saw this like, I don't know if it was a commercial or what it was, but it was a video clip of basically somebody going through their day and, little things happened, right? So then they turned left on the street and then they got stopped at a red light. So then they stopped and then the light went green and they show this entire scene and then they back it up and do it a different way. And it was crazy to see like how all of those little minute moments of your life can lead to huge change, like put you in a totally different space. And I think that, to your point, like way early on when we started this podcast, like waking up and saying like, I'm grateful for this breath. I'm grateful for my smile. I've got this. I need to be grateful for this or whatever. Like all of those little teeny tiny things are, I think, what we miss sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard when you're in your day to day and you're like, okay, fine, Katie, like I'll be grateful for my breath. But I do think that that's the reason we have tragedy and life altering moments, because then it does force us to do those things.
Yep. I think you're absolutely right. I absolutely think you're right. This was really awesome chatting and visiting with you today. I wanted to point out that you have this one shot. I forget what pose you're doing. It's some sort of a handstand on the beach. on the cliff. And I'm curious, was that Del Mar, or where is that shot? Do you know which one I'm talking about? You have a Santa hat on?
Yeah, it's Sunset Cliffs.
Okay. I was wondering. So I used to live right on Cape May, right near there. And then I also lived on Del Mar, in Del Mar, just down from Dog Beach as well. So much of your Instagram, I'm like, oh, reminiscent of like all these like happy moments. So I actually did a photo shoot once right there, on Sunset Cliffs area with a surfboard. I never surfed a day in my life, but it's on a postcard somewhere in a gas station. And, it was freezing that day and I had on a red bikini. And so I brought my sweatshirt. And so I was like putting it on in between shoots. And then I take it off, put it, you know, that whole deal to stay warm. And the sweatshirt got left there at the end of the day. And it was like my favorite freaking sweatshirt.
Oh my God.
And I always wondered, like, did it wind up in the ocean? Did it get blown away? Did somebody snatch it? Like, whatever happened to that sweatshirt?
I bet a really lucky homeless person is wearing it.
I hope so. I hope they're really enjoying that perfectly fitting gray sweatshirt that I love. So listen, how can people get a hold of you? How can they find out about your boot camp, your Be Inspired workshops, your book coming out? Like, how can people get in touch?
So my book launches December 14th on Amazon. It'll be available anywhere in print in like 30 countries. So, that's Amazon's called Cheers to Chaos. Katie Be Happy on Instagram. That's also throughout all platforms. And then, my website, beinspired.life, is this cool site where you can see all my international trips. I got Italy, South Africa, India, Mexico coming up in 2022. And then the on-demand workouts, you get programming each week from me, which is awesome. I send a weekly email with like literally Monday, click this 30-minute workout, do it. Tuesday, click, do this one. So it's like mindless and I take care of the whole programming.
Oh, fantastic. And as always, we put all the links in the show notes. Katie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking all things life-inspired happiness, grit, and resiliency.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been really enjoyable.
And we'll chat soon. Take care.
Yay.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.